Welcome, family, to the Now Network. Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Man up. I am taking responsibility. Ooh.
And not by sight, walk by faith and not by sight, walk by faith and not by sight. I just want eternal life, I just want eternal life.
Living this world, trying to be different. Look, I swear it gets tempting. Y'all be like him, please don't be like me. Y'all know what y'all sinners in this thing called life, but I might have y'all be. Time after time, day after day, I swear this flesh gets weak. Lord, I need your helping hand. Guide me through the things that I can't understand. Take me from a boy and make me to a man. I just wanna enter to your promised land. And I know that I can, and I know that I will. But my sin earned a bill that my pockets can't peel. So when the judgment is near, I will have no fear. No, you still near, no, you still care. That cross you bear, that blood you shed for my burdens, my Lord. Look, you left them there. You was there. Put them on my tab. I got him. Put them on my tab. You paid that price for me. I wasn't dead, I see. And that penalty was death. Stupidness, it's on me. Lord, stupidness, it's on me. Stupidness, it's on me. Not cause how good I've been. You saved me in my sin. Work it won't get you in. Work it won't get you in. Stay on a mission, just to look. Don't be afraid to be different. I know you're not perfect, my grace is sufficient. That's why I've given you purpose. To worship me, in spirit and in truth. I formed you in your mother's womb before the world ever knew you. Spend every day with me, you hurt. Son, come pray to me. Not only when you need me, sometimes reach out and greet me. Believe in me, like I believe in you. I got your life in the palm of my hands. I promise to never harm you or leave you, betray you, forsake you. Every trial you go through was set up all just for your breakthrough. So walk by faith and not by sight. It's easier to walk in darkness when you know the light. So take flight, we on to a new life. Streets of gold, happiness, peace, filled with eternal life. Hallelujah. If I take my time, would you still believe? Oh, it takes patience and faith to reap my promises.
Been through the fire, been through the flood. Done a lot of things that I'm so ashamed of. But I know you died to save my soul. So if that's what you want from me, then you get it without guarantee. Cause I just wanna see your face in that beautiful holy place. So if I can't see you now, I know I'll see you somehow. Walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight.
Walk by faith and not by sight. Glory. Man, welcome family to Man Up the Movement. This is our third Thursday of every month that our host, co-host, Pastor Dwayne Collins is on board. But yes, man up simply means that now is my time to fight. I'm taking personal responsibility for my own life. No longer relying on my personal abilities, but on God's complete guidance. My steps are ordered by the Lord. I am walking in purpose with God. Holding myself accountable, dedicated, and committed to a life of constant change and growth. Oh, yes, I am no longer operating with a double mind. I am operating with the Christ characteristics that dwell in me. I am the head and not the tail. I am the lender and not the borrower. I am called according to my purpose, and I am the God in me through Christ Jesus, because I man up. Oh, yes, I let you all off the hook, and I take personal responsibility for my whole life. Everything I've done wrong, everything that happened to me, everything that was against me, it was my fault. And now I release you so I can be who God has called me to be. Welcome to Man Up. With no further ado, our host for this evening, my brother, all the way in Madison, Wisconsin, Pastor Dwayne Collins. Good evening, my brother. Welcome.
Welcome, welcome. How
are
you doing, my brother?
What's up?
What's up? I know you blessed and highly favored too, in order to be disappointed, so I'm not going to say what's up, because I know you blessed and highly favored. But anyway, how you doing?
Oh, man, blessed, highly favored. You know how we do it. We man it up.
We man it up. We man it up. And I'm so grateful that I get this opportunity every third Tuesday to come forth to man up, because you know we have to take responsibility, and we take responsibility. We got to take responsibility now. Now we can do better. Now we can do. We can treat our spouse, our kids, our brothers, our sisters. We can treat our friends, our neighbors. We can do better now. Why? Because we know better. By knowing better, that means you can put things in perspective. If you don't know better, you can't put it in perspective. But we know better. And so this now, man up, it teaches us how to take full responsibility to get right into what you need to get into your place. Because sometimes we out of order. So we need to get back into order to do better now. So I appreciate this opportunity. Like I say, it's a great opportunity to bring things in perspective. And I thank you for this opportunity.
Man,
anytime you give a chance to give
up. But it's us, you know, it's us listening and being willing to be transparent with one another. But I want to say this out there to some brother that's probably like me, that even though it didn't seem that it was working out and you didn't know an answer to it, if you trust and rely on God, God will move on your behalf, but you must be obedient and submissive to what God is doing, and he can fix everything in your life. If there's something broken, it can be fixed. When you're not trying to fix it and you let God fix it, when you get out of the way of trying to manipulate and trying to do you in a situation, you get out of it, and then all of a sudden you'll be like, God showed up. That's what I want to tell somebody today about God showing up. I know you have a word for us tonight. I want to just kind of bounce and man up with you before I release you. I do want to just say last night was dynamic. That sounded like a man up the movement with, you know, about really taking over, taking responsibility for your territory. Now, most people hear territory and they think cities and nations and big cathedrals. Territory, I learned last night and was confirmed, is right where I'm at right now. I need to learn how to master what's in front of me right now, instead of trying to think about Africa and New York and Florida and Wisconsin and anywhere else. That when I man up, my territory is right here. So now God's territory can reach Wisconsin, as we are brothers, and Florida, as we have brothers there. And, you know, Man Up the Movement over 3 years has reached 37 states with covenant brothers that may not come on every, and you hear them every week, but they are there supporting us. Look at what God can do.
Amen. That was a dynamic show last night too, because, you know, he reached in and pulled some stuff out of us and he explained some stuff to us. And that's right on point, because, and we trying to be effective for Christ. Christ turned his disciples went to different cities and turned it upside down. I really speak within the prophetic, because if they were still here and they would still be turning the city upside down, there wouldn't be no homeless, wouldn't be no drive-by shootings, wouldn't be no murders, wouldn't be no rapists, because they wouldn't have brought the whole gospel. They didn't bring part of the gospel. They brought the whole gospel. They said cities upside down. Folks are seeing things they ain't never seen in their lives. They kids got the chance to see what their grandparents was talking about, what their great-great-grandparents was talking about when the apostles went there into people's houses, healing of fever, healing disease, healing all kind of amount of things. But what they did, they made their community effective. They didn't take all the glory from themselves. They made their community effective. Why? Because they sat there and started teaching how to do
right.
this and how to do this and how to do that. And that's what the man of God brought us out of us last night. Your community has to be effective before you can move out of the community.
Man, that hit me better than anything. That did. That really, like, wow, that need to be heard. We need to preach that. Everybody that's connected to this network need to preach that sermon at the same time, because if your community is not fixed and you think you're running a successful ministry and you still got crime, you still got prostitution, you still got drugs, you still got homelessness in your arena, then your ministry is not being effective, because as I know, to be effective is to change people, not to build buildings and get more seats and a better sound system, but to build people as the church. So I say, let me sow into you, because I learned through talking about Jesus is that he did everything to find value in me. Even though I was wrecked, even though I was no good, he saw the best in me. Come on, Marvin Sapp. He saw the best in me, but he was trying to reveal to me the value that I have. Oh, glory. That's what Jesus brings. And if we are truly brothers, and I know as you've already shared, so I'm going to throw you under the bus. I'm just going to reveal a little bit. But 1 Timothy chapter 6 is going to really touch somebody tonight when you let go. But I tell you, it still goes back to, am I working on me and my territory so I can now help you work on your territory, that you can help somebody work on their territory? Because I'm starting to learn, my brother, if you come over here and try to work on my land and till the ground in my territory, you be doing what I need you to do instead of doing what God has told you to do.
My God. And that is so true. That is so true. And I appreciate you. You ministered to me today on that key point. That's the key point. You know, we quick to run to help somebody else with their other ministry, but what God is saying about your ministry, how can you neglect your ministry to go help somebody else's ministry when you're not being effective where you need to be effective at? And so I so thank you for ministering to me. You brought it right back up. And that's just the word of God, because they say iron sharpens iron. You hear that? It say iron sharpens iron. It don't say dull iron. It say iron.
Iron. Yes.
So you have to be two irons that sharpen one another. You can't be a dull. A dull knife can't sharpen a knife. It can't. So it has to be a sharp blade to sharpen a sharp blade. You know what I'm saying? Because you use stones to sharpen the blade, and if it becomes dull, it's no good. So what happens? The iron sharpens iron, and they both become effective. They don't take nothing from each other. They don't degrade one another. They iron sharpens iron, so they both be equipped to one another, to where they say, man, we're going to do this work. Not putting you down, not saying I know more than you know, but they say iron sharpens iron, man. And that's what we need. That's what we had in this season. That's what we're trying to get for in this season. And so I'm so, like I say, I'm so fired up, man. I'm so happy, man, that God equipped me, still got me living, still got me still on his mind, still got me on his agenda, because my time ain't up yet, you know? I just haven't, my eyes haven't seen, my ears, you know, my ears haven't heard what's about to happen. I can only just taste it, but God give me an opportunity. How he give me an opportunity? Why? Because I'm still connected. I'm still connected.
Oh, my God.
I'm so grateful for that.
Well, be released, my brother. Heavenly Father God, we thank you. As we receive your word, Lord, we thank you that as we commune together, we thank you that, Lord, as we sit at your feet and receive your word from wherever you send it. So have your way. Take us out the equation. Remove our personalities, our agendas, and our own way of thinking, so we're conformed not to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. Have your way tonight. We reach our hand to the man of God that you touch, anoint, and use mightily. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Once again, I want you guys, I before we jump to that scripture, we're going to 2 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6. to read chapter 6 through 10. But, you know, I broadcast our apostle, the fivefold ministry, God. He put things in together. It said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. That's what this show is about. It's about now faith. Now is an option. Now is the time to get it right. Now what you're about to hear, you can change your current situation. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till 4, 3, 5. You still there?
Yeah. I'm still here. You bounced off a little bit, but come on, you there.
All right. And so that's where we at. You know, I just want to, you know, plug that into you. I want to sow that seed into you because now faith. So it says the word became flesh. So what God is about to do, God is about to speak to us. And by him speaking to us, the word is going to make an impact in you. It's an impact in you. It's not Pastor Collins. It's what God is about to say. Amen. And you know, I always have my partner in crime with me. You know, we said when we studied at the altar, we said to death do us part, you know, to sickness of a health. She said, I'm with you. So I'm so grateful that God gave me an opportunity to have my protege to work this thing with me because we work together. We are in the ministry. Our ministry is working together. So she's gonna start off. We're gonna go, like I said, 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're gonna read from 1 through 10 in your hearing and just let God speak to you in this tip. Amen.
1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, in the first verse. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better, because those who benefit from their service are believers and dear to them. These are the things you are to teach and urge on them. If anyone teaches false doctrine and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicion, and constant friction between men of corrupt mind, who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people wander eager for money, have wandered from the faith, and pierce themselves with many griefs.
Oh my God! And so I like what Paul is talking to Timothy, because nowadays we have to be rooted. We have to be rooted in the Word of God. We cannot let fictitious. We can't let hype speakers get us off God's course. We can't let folks come in here and tell us this doctrine not working. Oh, don't preach this. This not going. And nobody even want to listen to this. Preach prosperity. Preach that God loves you. Don't preach about sin. Don't preach about coming out of darkness. Don't preach about coming out of bondage. No, you don't want to preach that. You know, no, you don't want to be with them cats over there, because them cats over there, you know, they want to just raise offerings. They want to get up and say two words, the next thing you know, they want to raise offerings. They want to do things for 50 loops. They don't want to do things for the cross. They don't want to talk about how God died on the cross. They don't want to talk about how he suffered. They don't want to talk about how he predicted everything is going to take place. They don't want to talk about that. They don't want to give you sound doctrine. They want to give you some message that you can blab at God. Oh, we all sin. You know, God loves us. God forgive. He's a forgiving God. Yes, he's a forgiving God, but he's a just God. He said all sins, what sins is, he said all sins are what? All sins can lead to what? Death. He said the soul that sin gonna die and go where? Straight to hell. He didn't say you're gonna go to heaven. He didn't say he got a key door open for you. He said all sin gonna die and go going straight to hell. So we got to get back to sound doctrine. A doctrine is to change our community. Our doctrine is supposed to pick the heart. Don't make the heart. Don't make you all cool to sit in your chair and say, oh, everything's all right. It's cool. No, the word of God supposed to say, man, I need to change, man. I know I've been messed up. I know I've been doing this. I know I've been doing this. I know I've been doing this. I need to get myself back together. I need to understand who died for me on the cross. I need to get myself back together. I need to learn how to pray to this God that I don't, you know, that people talk about. I need to get out of my fictitious thinking. I need to get out of my speaking thinking and get into right thinking. I need to get myself to a point where I can ask a brother, man, how did you get into knowing who God is? How did you get up out of this changing money? How do you get into chasing out of this filthy lucre? How do you get out of that, you know, how do you get out of this drug-fested mindset? That's what Paul telling him, man, you need to go back and make your community be effective. Don't go against those that have faith. Now, he's saying, because you serving your master, you know, you serving them out of your heart. You know, you're not serving them for filthy lucre. You serving because you think that's what's righteous. Don't judge them, you know, let them be all right. Leave them alone because they're doing it because out of their heart. He's not saying that they don't know better. He's not saying they don't know better. He's saying, but don't go against them, you know, but stay in sound doctrine. Stay in sound doctrine. Stay in sound doctrine. We can't get out of the word of God. We can't get out of it. It says stay in teaching. Stay in right teaching. You know, we got all these apostles. We got all these prophets. We got all this prophetic, you know, but yet we don't even go to the Bible. We don't go to the Bible and figure out what God instructs you. We don't go to the Bible and ask God, what do you want us to do? What kind of love do you want us to have for our neighbors? How do you want us to help the homeless? How do you want us to help the ministry you gave us? We looking outside the ministry. Why? They got doctrine over there that sounds good. You know, when we adapt to their doctrine and don't preach the doctrine of Jesus Christ, then, you know, he said we're not effective. We said we worse than an infidel. You know, we got the right doctrine, but now all of a sudden we want to change our doctrine for filthy lucre. We want to change our doctrine so our church can grow. We don't want to preach about, you know, they say the soul is sinning, going to die and go to hell. We don't want to preach about saying that, you know, that no liars, no fornicators, no murderers, no homosexuals, no abusers with themselves. We don't want to preach that doctrine too heavy. But we need to change our message. We change our message. Our church can grow overnight. If we change our message, we have all kind of folks. Man, they've been in shouting and tearing down the rooftop. They'd be tearing down the wall. But soon we talk about fornicating. Soon we talk about coming out from among them. Soon we start talking about you can't be a wine drinker. Soon we keep talking about the pastor, all them first ladies sitting on the bench. You need to tell them first ladies, no, that ain't your husband. That ain't your first lady. How you going to have five first ladies in the church? The Bible said a husband and a man supposed to have one wife. But we got all. See, we don't want to stand that kind of doctrine. We want to tell that doctrine, oh, the God is. What you know, God is good. But we don't want to tell. We don't want to give them truth. We don't want to bring them out of bondage. We want them to stay in bondage. We don't want to give them too much because if we give them too much, they won't be worshiping us. You know, we worship. They're all our pastor. He's the bomb. Our pastor is the bomb. Boy, you heard our pastor. He brought the word. But God said, glorify God. He said, glorify man. He said, man would deceive you. He said, man would deceive you. Man would leave you. Here they come with their glamour. They come with their glamour. They want to, oh, let me prophesy in your life. You want to prophesy in my life? If that's the case, you could have called me on the phone. If you know so much about me, why did God then give you my phone number to call me? But yet you want to prophesy to me, tell me what God's going to do. The Bible says, seek the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. All I got to do is seek the kingdom. Whatever God needs for me to have, he'll give to me. But yet, no, I don't want to read that. I want a microwave message. I want a microwave message that says that if I sow a seed tomorrow, I'm going to reap a harvest. The harvest don't work like that. A farmer goes out and he plants a seed. He plants a seed. And the seed don't grow overnight. It takes time. You got to nourish. You got to water it. You got to put ferment on it. You got to go out there and check on it. You got to have sunlight on it. You know, the sun got to come. Then once the seed grow, you know, it's some perks going to grow in there. You know, leaves going to, what you call those things, weeds going to come in there. You know, the farmer got to go out there and pluck the weed and all that kind of stuff. But no, we don't want that. We want the weed. We just want to go and hang with the weed. But no, that's not true. That's not biblical. God said he'll pluck it, but we don't wait for God to pluck it. We wait for somebody to come. prophesied and said, well, God called you. God said, now you're a pastor, now you're an apostle, now you're a bishop. But you ain't even dwell in the word of God. Paul was talking to Timothy and let Timothy know, these some things gonna come against you. These some things that gonna fight against you. These some things gonna try to take you about. I want to go to number 10. For the love of money is rule. It's rule of all evil. It's a root for all evil. You know, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to nobody else, and I'm not going to lie to myself, because, see, that's sad when you got to lie to yourself and make yourself believe your own lie. You know you're telling a lie, but yet you still want to believe, keep lying to yourself. I'm getting free. You know, I got sad. I got sidetracked. You know, I said, well, if I had $250,000 worth of ministry and growth, I can buy this, I can do this, I can have that, then the ministry would go. But God said, if he don't build it, if my labor is in vain. So I can have all the money in the world and set up all kind of ministry. What I'm going to have, I'm going to have a hell ministry. What I'm going to have, I'm going to have all kind of ungodly people. You know, if he going to, that terror, all this going to come into the household of faith. You know what they're going to do? It's going to tear up the ministry. Why is it going to tear up the ministry? Well, because it wasn't did by God. I've been doing this for the last 10 years. I've been following everybody else's dreams. I've been following everybody else's vision. God gave me a vision, but I put my vision on hold to help somebody else's vision to come to pass. How can I do that? How can I turn my back on God and say I'm righteous? How can I say God is my protector? How can I say God is my deliverer? How can I say God is my healer? How can I say God is my financial? How can I say anything? How can I say God is my miracle when I'm not even waiting on God? I'm not waiting. I suppose he said wait on him patiently. He said wait on him patiently. But no, we got these itch ears. Oh, they got a good sound over there. But he said stay in sound doctrine. They got a good sound. Everybody got a good sound, but it's the sound doctrine. You know what sound doctrine is? Sound doctrine is death, burial, and resurrection. That's sound doctrine. That's sound doctrine. He said the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. He said in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And if you get down to the, if you go, and he said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's sound doctrine. He said that he's going to die and he's going to risen. He said he's going to come again. He said he's going to come in the cloud. He said he's sitting on the throne all by himself. He said the angels worship him. That's sound doctrine. But yet we make our own doctrine. Why? Because we don't want to be submissive. We don't want to have submissive to those who have ruled over us. You know, we don't want to be submissive. Oh, they think they know everything. No, they know better. Why? Because they've been in their current situation. They've been in situations we have never been into. But yet we want to rush. Oh, you just don't want me to preach. No, you just don't want me to be this. No, he's giving us biblical doctrine. That's what Paul came and put things in perspective. No, you're not ready. You're not ready to be persecuted. You're not ready for your family to turn their back on you. You're not worried for your job to shut the door in your face. You're not ready for the door be closed in your face and you can't find nothing to eat. You're not ready to be homeless. You're not ready to be persecuted. You're not ready to be talked about. You're not ready for someone to throw stones at you. You're not ready for nobody allowing you. But no, you keep saying you're ready. You ain't even suffered. You ain't even suffered yet, but yet you ready to run outside. See, we got to go back. We got to go back to biblical. What is biblical? The Bible. The Bible said, be holy for I am holy. That was a requirement. He said, Israel, he said, your God should be holy and my people should be holy. But no, we don't want holiness. You know, nobody want to talk about holiness. Sound doctrine is holiness. Without holiness, can't no man see the Lord. So we got everybody running around speaking in tongues and prophesying, like laying hands on people, saying that God called me this, but we're not doing things that righteous. That's a shame. That's a shame for us not to do things that righteous, because we're chasing that paper money. We're chasing that money, man. We're chasing that money. We're chasing that money so hard that we don't want to stay focused. We want this large ministry. We want this overnight ministry. You know, they got fly-by ministry that would draw overnight. Why? Because people's leaving ministry because they don't want to stay in sound doctrine. But when they get sound doctrine, what happens? We come back and bamboozle them. You got a good word. Remember, you got a good word, but all of a sudden you start saying fault them. Why? Did you ask God to even go help that ministry? all you figure, oh, they got sound doctrine. They preach, oh, he preaches, but you don't even know how he living. You shout, oh, go ahead, preacher, but you don't even know how he living. He got a devil life. He got a wife at home, and he got a guy next door to him. You know, but yet we don't see all that. And that's all the Bible is an instruction. It's an instruction to get us into order. And we need to get back into order. If we don't get back into order, we're gonna perish. I'm so guilty. I told my wife is telling me this here. It's a shame, baby, because, you know, I want to be real. I want to be free. I heard it last night. Then I heard it from Apostle E. I heard it. I don't want to do a good job and find myself up in hell. How can I find myself up in hell? You remember the talent? You remember the ones that he gave talent to? The ones he gave one talent, two talent, three talent, four talent, five talent. The one with the one talent when he hit it. He wouldn't hear his talent. And what God do? God said, you unworthy. You unworthy. That's what he said. He said in the last day, God said, depart from me, for you work of iniquity, for I never knew you. What do you mean you never knew me? I cast demons out of your name. I preached in your name. I did this in your name. Yeah, but did you stay in sound doctrine? Did you stay in sound doctrine? Did you stay in sound doctrine? Because if you stayed in sound doctrine, you wouldn't have been chasing on money. You wouldn't have been chasing on dreams. You wouldn't have been chasing on pool pit. You wouldn't have been chasing on prophets. You wouldn't have been chasing a word. The word is in the Bible. The word is in the Bible. How I know the word is in the Bible? Because if we go to John, let's jump to John real quick. Say, well, you know when we talk, we talking about this word. We talk. It says in John, First John, he said, in the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. We never understood what the word was, but it said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning was God. All things was made by him, and without him was nothing made. You hear that? All things was made by him. So if God wants you to have a big church, he'll give it to you. If God wants you to have $250 million, he'll give it to you. Why? Because he knows you're a good steward. If God wants you to have a mega church, God's able to give you a mega church. Why? Because you're going to feed people sound doctrine. You're not going to get out of the doctrine. You're not going to go and build your own doctrine. You're going to keep Jesus Christ as a center of focus. You're going to keep Jesus Christ the center of everything. You're not going to change the gospel. You're going to preach the gospel whether they like it or they don't like it. You're going to preach the gospel in and out of season. Well, in and out of season. I don't care if the sun comes down, you still going to preach it. I don't care if you got one member in the church, you still going to preach. Why? Because God gives the increase. Don't no man give the increase. God gives the increase. I'm so guilty of that. Why? Because I got distracted. Yes, I did got distracted. What man said they don't get distracted? That's why I like this thing. Now we can do things great. Now we can know better. Now we can see God focus. Yeah, we be in this thing for, you know, we be in this thing for a minute. I was, you know, to give you a little background, I know that I got distracted. Get a little background. I you know, I never knew God. But once I got to know God, he started, you know, downloads a lot of stuff to me, right? So I was at an apostolic church, you know, UPC. Okay, I'm going to put it out there. I was at a UPC church. You know, UPC said they got the word. You know, they said they got the word, right? It's a Roman word. It's a word about death, burial, and resurrection, about Jesus Christ. It's about the burial. It's the oneness doctrine. That's why they call it oneness doctrine. What is oneness doctrine? That Jesus Christ is one. He's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's three identities, but he's come back to be one. And so I got sidetracked. I started going over here. I started going over here. I started going to this doctrine, going to hear this, going here, going here, going here, going here. And I got off a track. Why did I get off a track? Because God sent me here to set the captive free. God sent me here to preach the gospel. God sent me here to go out and do outreach, prepare them to come into the house, not prepare them to go to this ministry, not prepare them to go to that ministry, not prepare them to go to that ministry, prepare them to come in, that they will glorify God. Let God speak to their heart. Let God show them where to go. Not me telling them where to go, not telling them to call. He said, let God tell you, call me a pastor. God said he would give you a pastor out of your own heart. God said he would give a pastor out of his heart. You know what I'm saying? His heart, not my heart. cemetery, but not, you know, so we go to places to where they equipped us. But the Bible, God equipped us. We take doctrine and put it out of context. We take it out and put it out of context. Just like we go to Genesis. Oh, I know I'm preaching. I know I'm talking. He said, if we go to Genesis 1, he said, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth.
Oh, you preach it.
In the beginning. It goes back to Genesis and said, in the beginning God created. God created the heaven and earth. God wasn't worried about us right now. Why? Because he had a place for us. But God had to put things in, he had to put things in order. God called it. You know, God said it. God said. God said in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And God and the deep and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. That's water. That's in the beginning. That's light. He had to bring light in a dark situation. We in a dark situation, but yet we don't want to tell the truth. But we don't want to bring people out of darkness. We don't want the light shine. You know what light we want to shine? We want our ministry to shine. We want everybody to call us apostle. Oh, I'm bishop. I'm bishop this, and I'm bishop that, and I'm bishop this. But he said, God said he put the light in the darkness. The darkness cannot comprehend the light. That's how our light's supposed to be. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God gave this, and God divided the light from the dark. If you telling me you saved and you feel in the dark, then you're not in light. If you telling me you saved and you still smoking cigarettes, you're not in the light. You telling me you selling out for filthy loot. We just said that in 10, chapter 6, First Timothy chapter 6, chapter 10. He said, for lovers of money, you tell me you out here prostituting your book for money, telling me you in the light. You out here doing strange things for a little change, and you telling me you in the light. You telling me they tell you are we gonna pay you $5,000?
Yeah, on this service.
Praise the Lord. You tell me that I'm not going to show up unless you pay me $10,000. You're not in the light. He said, let your light shine, that they will glorify your God. Come on, somebody. Talk to me in here.
Hey.
Oh, I feel the power. I feel the power. My God. And so we saying that we in the light, but we doing all kind of ungodly things. We doing all things that's not righteous. We come on, Lady Ann, go to three. Go to three for me real quick. Oh, I'm excited, my God. If any man
teaches false doctrine,
uh-huh,
and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, he is conceited and understands nothing.
You hear that? Quit chasing these prophets around. Quit chasing these bishops around. Quit chasing these, come on, I'm anointed. I'm appointing them anointed. You glorified in your flesh. Your doctrine. You're talking about you. He's saying that if they teach him false doctrine, if they're not talking about Jesus Christ, man, you better run. Because first of all, they're talking about themselves. Read that again for me, please. Read that again for me. Listen to what it says.
If any man,
that mankind, woman or man, don't just say just a man, mankind, that means a woman or a man. Come on.
If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing.
Oh, now, my wife was reading the NIV. She was reading the NIV. Now, we jumped over to the King James, okay? We're going to jump to the King James. Now, listen to what it says now. He knows nothing.
But doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil, surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds.
Look at that. Look at that. They all together. Come on, some. We all together. We talking about we this and we that, but we separated. We separated. Why? Because it's one way. It's only your way. It's not. Look at these guys. Look how they're doing this. Come on. Talk to us, Paul. Talk to us, Paul.
Corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself.
Look at that. Look at that. Talk about gain. What is the gain? What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You got preachers talking about I'm the head chief bishop. I'm the chief apostle. I'm the chief. He said, what would a man gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would you profit the whole world and lose your soul? You all that in a bag of chips. The Bible says you can see this. You think you all that in a bag of chips. My God, I pray God would release you from that mindset.
Go ahead.
Well, we haven't fought over here. Come on.
But godliness with contentment is great gain.
Godliness with content is great gain. You gonna think about it. The Holy Ghost gonna lead you. The Holy Ghost gonna lead you into truth. The Holy Ghost gonna lead you into righteousness. God's gonna walk with you. He's not gonna let you fall in that hole. He's not gonna let you get sidetracked. Why? Because he said, meditate on the word of God, what day and night. That word should not depart from the heart. The word should not depart from my mind. Come on. Come on now. Oh my God.
For we brought nothing unto this world.
What did you bring? You keep talking about something. It's your church. You keep talking about something, it's you, it's yours. When did you come in? You know, I don't want to sound too crazy, but my understanding said you came to work naked. When you came in, you came in your mama's womb. When you came in your mama's womb, you didn't bring no nothing with you. When you came out your mama's womb, all you came out naked. When you came out naked, you didn't have nothing. Come on. Oh, my God.
And it is certain we can carry nothing out.
See that? See that? That's for you. What? That's for you. You know the one got all that money. You think that you're going to take that money to heaven with you? You think you're going to take that money to heaven? Look, that money going to end. You know what the rich ruler did, right? He didn't want to give up that money, but he ended up finding himself in hell. Don't let that money take you to hell. Don't let that property take you to hell. Don't let them cars take you to hell. Don't let all that worldly stuff take you to hell. He said it right there. You can't take that stuff with you. Why are you whoring over it? See, that's an idol. You need to get that idol out of your mind. You need to get that idol out of your heart. That's an idol. God said you should not have idols. You should not worship idols. You should worship him. You know, he said the root of money is evil. The root. So you got that thing, everybody's trying to get this from me. Everybody's trying to get this from me. See how that thing make you bitter? You see how it make you evil? You see how it make you don't even feel right? Come on. Oh, my God.
And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content.
See, you got everything. Be content. Be happy what you got. You may not have what the Jones got, but look, you got salvation. You got grace. You got mercy, you got your mind, you got your heart, you got your right spirit. You know who your Lord and Savior is. You know who's your provider. You know who fight the battle for you. You know who's standing in the gap for you. He said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. He said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. I know the devil. He created the devil. The Bible said he created everything. Don't mean that you don't know who Lucifer is. Lucifer is a liar. He come to be like God, but he'll never be like God. God is holy. God is righteous. Lucifer is darkness. He's not righteous. Oh, come on. Let's go. Let's get this here. Let's go. Go.
But they that will be rich fall into temptation.
I just said it. You know, if you look on TV, you can go to Hollywood. All them rich folks up there. You know, it's a great comedian. I mean, he was one of the greatest comedians. He can make everybody laugh. How did he end up committing suicide? How did he do it? He played in Dark Bar. I mean, Robert Williams was was a great comedian. You know, it seemed like he wasn't cussing or nothing like that, but it seemed like he was a great comedian. How did he end up killing, commit suicide? Because he was miserable. You miserable without Jesus Christ. You miserable without your Lord and Savior. You just watching over yourself, thinking everybody's trying to get your money, everybody's trying to get your wealth, everybody's trying to do this, and you sitting there and you worship and you working in that idol. And next thing you know, that thing kills you. Come on, let's go.
And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition.
See that? They draw men to things that they should not be doing. You get that money. You think that you all this. You know, you're going out, you buying liquor, you buying drugs, you doing prostitute, you doing all kind of things. That money got you trying to search for love. That money got you trying to find all kind of love, all kind of things just to please the flesh. You try to please the flesh, but don't you know you can never please the flesh? The flesh can never be pleased. The flesh, you can do all you want to do. You can have all the money in the world. You can go get all the women in the world. You still gonna be out trying to feed that flesh. That flesh will never be happy. That flesh will never be happy. But I know a God can make that flesh be happy. Why? Because He give you power to put the flesh up on the death. Come on, let's work this thing, girl. Oh my God, my God.
For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
And I know you know a lot of peoples that was coming to church. They was big tithe payers. They was big tithe payers. They was big tithe payers. They was paying big. They was big, buying buildings. They was putting the bishops in a Rolls Royce. They was putting the pastor, buying the pastor, buying them jets and all that kind of stuff. And what happened? They end up leaving the church. Why? Because somebody sat in their seat, or somebody looked at them in the wrong way, or somebody started shouting in the church, or somebody got delivered, and they was upset. Why? Well, I ain't doing nothing else for this church. I did this. You ain't did nothing. What God had you to do it. God had you to do it because He know you out of your heart you wouldn't do it. So God, don't you let, I'm going to say this and I'm about to get up out of here and I'm going to jump back to my partner in crime. Don't you know, I heard a story that somebody was telling me a long time ago when I gave my life to Christ. And this woman, she said she was, her husband died, okay? She had five kids and she got fired from a job. And she prayed to God every night, Lord, my baby's hungry. My baby's this and my baby's that. And every morning she gets up, she walks to her door, and she finds food. And she get up and says, thank you, Lord. Then she talk about her kids don't have clothes. Next thing you know, she goes back out to her front door, and she got clothes. She's like, oh, thank you, God. God, you've been wonderful to me. God, you've been wonderful to me. And she said that she wanted a job, but she didn't have a car to get to work. And she was praying out to her, God, if you send me, If you get me an application, if you send me to a place to get a job, I'll go. But I need a ride. And this woman was like, oh, God, oh, God. And next thing you know, she said the neighbor came and knocked on the door. And the neighbor knocked on the door and said, well, I heard that you need a ride. Took her to work. She got the job. She glorified God on her way home. Got into her house. Stopped praising God. Stopped doing this. And next thing you know, the neighbor got so upset. Oh, I'm just sick and tired of talking about God did this. The neighbor knocked on the door, and the woman came to the door, and the woman was just thanking God because God did a wonderful thing for her life. And the woman told the woman shouting, and the man said, you need to shut up. I'm sick and tired of you. Every night, you talking about God did this. But the woman, then he talking about, I'm the one that did all this. I bought you the food. I bought you the clothes. I got you the shoes. I got you the ride. I got you there. She said, well, I pray to God that God would have someone to do it. And what happened? He had you to come do it. Praise to God. This message is to inspire someone. Don't never put limits on God. Don't you put limits on God. Yeah, we make mistakes. We do make mistakes. But you know what? Now we can get it right.
When?
Now we can get it right. Need to man up. Call that wife back.
When?
Call that sister back.
When?
Call that son back.
When?
Call that daughter back. Call them back. Now. offer is not accepted. You think it's accepted, but God said it's not accepted. Go back and make peace. Go back and make ends. I appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity. I thank you guys for listening in. Man, may God be glorified. May God be elevated. May God be lifted up. May God do what he needs to do in your life for him. May God bless you. My God, my God. Oh my God.
No. You ain't done. You're not done yet. You're not done yet because we manning up together. We started this thing. We're going to continue this thing. I know there's somebody out there fired up today that has heard something and says, wow, that sounds just like me. And we have some younger people on our broadcast throughout the nation, even here in the network, that have been listening to this dynamic word. We're asking for everybody to get involved in this conversation tonight. Come on, let's man up and let's take responsibility for it's not so much what you do, but what I do to do right. See, we all, you know, this is the question that was just asked to me from my grandson. I'm not even going to ask it for him, but we were talking the other day about why do you continue to do the stuff that you want to do, which is wrong. And he said, but I don't want to. I really want to do right. Here's his question. What's your question, Zion?
Why do I keep on doing wrong, but I want to do right?
Did you hear that?
I hear that. And you right.
Wait, he said, if you didn't hear it clearly, he going to say it one more time. Hold on.
Why do I keep on doing wrong, but I want to do right?
My God.
Now, that's an 8-year-old getting involved because he's been listening. He said, God, we were talking the other day. Can I know why I do wrong, even though I want to do right? Because, you know, we got deep, and I said, well, you know, your mother or your your G-pa, don't call me granddaddy, your G-pa want to see, we want you to do right. We want to be happy for you, but you continue to, he said, why do I keep? We man it up tonight because you can never, unless you communicate about it, you can never know about it, even from the youngest.
I put it in perspective because I know he knows better. It's the nature, it's the sin nature that dwells in us. It's the sin man, it's the flesh. The spirit man want to do right, but the flesh, it is the flesh to get us to get us to do wrong things. Until we understand about our Lord and Savior, and God give us the revelation, because we can put the flesh up on the suggestion. You know, the Bible says, let this mind that be in Christ also be in you. Why? Because you become a new creature. Once you become a new creature, then you can do right. Why? Because
even as a
right
young man, and we're talking to young people now, and we want them to know that it's not watching me, but learning how to watch yourself. That's how my answer was. Okay, you have to be your own security guard. You have to be the one to say, okay, I understand what's right and what's wrong. For you to do right, even though you do wrong, the only person that can stop you is you.
That's talking
to an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, a 30-year-old, and our 60 and 70-year-olds. It goes back to that, and it really was dynamic. I'm so glad he came in and wanted to get involved in this conversation, because now I can preach to him is that you can make yourself better. Nobody did it for me.
Come on.
I could not. I tried it with other people. I've been to these pro. I've been to that. I've listened to this, but I didn't get clean and sober. I did not get positive about myself. I did not move out of myself until I did it myself. I wish I would have known that at 8 years old, that I can make myself great. I don't need you to make me great. I can make myself great because I need God in my life.
Now. And that's so. I like that because that's a training. It said train up a child, not in your way. But train up a child in where? In the Lord's way.
Oh, yes.
What you doing,
he will not depart.
Grandson, what you doing to your grandson is learning that he can do right through Christ. He's learning his mistake. Because you don't have to, you don't have to teach a baby how to lie. That's a part of part of his DNA. But what you can do is you can teach him how to do right. We can teach folks, because, you know, we teach kids how to sing, rap. We teach kids why, because we teach them these things. But if we can teach them how to be righteous, how to do that.
Oh, yeah, he can sing, he can rap. He know every song,
yeah,
every word, every lyric,
yeah,
to every song that's on,
yeah,
the radio. Now we doing G-mixes.
Hey, there you go. And see, that's the key thing, is teaching them by he watching you. You got to do right, because they looking at you. They not looking at, no. See, we got to get them out of their frame of mind looking at these sports figures. You know, oh, I want to be Michael Jordan. No, you can never be a Michael Jordan. You need to be who you are. Become the best.
Well,
that you
I didn't
are.
Told him.
You
look, I didn't told him, and I'm gonna tell all my kids. If anybody of any of my kids, I'm always tell you the greatest at whatever God says you can be. Nobody can be better than you. You were perfected by God to be the greatest. He want to play basketball. You the greatest basketball player ever. I'm really pointing this in there because even from 8 to 13 to 14, 15, 16, like I said, all the way to us that are over the, I ain't gonna put our age out there, we all have to change. We all have to change our approach to showing someone else that, look, I cannot make you do anything, but you can make yourself do right. But you have to know the difference between right and wrong. I know even when I was 12, 10, let's go back even to 8. I knew the things I was doing that was wrong. I just kept doing it. But I knew right from wrong. But there wasn't nobody in my ear telling me, hold on. It was only that belt, that stitch of cord, or whatever was in their hand, that shovel, the my drum set, boots, and everything. Only thing that was in their hand that could show me how. But no one ever whispered in my ear and said, you know what? We all been through that. But what can you do in your mind to change the things you know are wrong? Because I know every time I did wrong, it was that first thought that said, you know you're going to get in trouble. But we, you know, as a young kid, we put that voice way back. They won't know. They ain't here right now. They too busy. He on the phone. They doing this. And as soon as they do it, bam, it happens. And then when you think you're getting away, the Holy Spirit comes in and will put you to sleep, will make you go unconscious to the things that you've done, because he wants you to be embarrassed.
And that's
have you ever
so
heard
true.
That scripture?
And that's why
we haven't been given a spirit of what? Fear.
Fear.
Whenever you're going through something in life, I share this, and I'm so glad to share it tonight. But whenever you're approached with something that makes you fearful, that's not God. Let me come back to that again, because some people say, oh, that was God, but let me search God. Let me pray God. No, no, no. If you feel fearful in your spirit, whatever you're doing, that's not God. That's when we have to be accountable ourselves and say, you know what? There are consequences to my actions. Oh, yes. Every action has a consequence. Here's the question or the answer to that. What are you willing to pay for the consequences? That makes me now say, I've got to do better. I must do better now.
I must do better now. And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to be connected. Why? Because, you know, as I was upcoming, you know, I always looked out in the hood. That's why I got all the gang tattoos. I'm in and out of prison. I've been shot. I was selling drugs. I got put on drugs. I got, you know, I was doing all kind of unclean. Why? Because I was following them cats on the street. They didn't never tell me I can become better. They didn't never tell me I need to go to school and get
that's right,
become this and become that. They didn't tell me that. They said, well, he's young. Put that pack in his hand. If he get caught with the gun, they ain't going to do nothing but send him to juvenile. If he get caught with that pack, they ain't going to do nothing to him. Then nobody, you know, took the time and say, no, man, if you put that gun in your hand, you're going to go to prison. No, if you don't go to school, you're going to be a bum. If you don't get no education, you know, you're going to be working these $2, these, you know, back in the days, we worked at, what, it was $6.50 or something like that. But now, you know, as we become older, you know, now that stuff tear a hold on us, because Now we at a certain age, we can't make the money that, you know, we can't get a good salary job due to some kind of, you know, the education that we have. Well, we can get a job, but we can't make that, you know, that $150,000 a year job. You can't. Why? Because of your background, your history. But God's able to change that thing. And how he's able to change that thing? Now. What do you mean now? Now is a chance to get yourself together because you know better now. You know better
right
now. Why? Because you tapped
on the what? On the Now Network.
Now Network. You tapped into something. Say, God can get rid of your felony. I work, man. I got a couple felonies. I've been in my prison. I've been in institutional. I've been in crazy house. I've been in all kinds of stuff when I was a teenager. Even up when I was 21 years old, I had a drug habit. I used to snort heroin. I used to do cocaine. I used to smoke Primo. I used to do all kinds of things, you know, but God. But it wasn't nobody but God.
God
showed me a better way. Why? Because I inquired in him. I asked him, and I heard something. Now, the book said, now is the substance of things to hope for. Now faith. So I heard now faith. You telling me now faith? So if I operate my faith, if I ask God to help me out with my problems, to help me out, get me a job, to help me out to be a better husband, help me out to be a better father, to help me out to be a better brother, he can do that? Yes, he can. He says
he
no
can.
Respectable person. Anybody come to God. Why?
You can do it right now.
Now say, so now you can say, Lord, I need to do better.
Right now.
I need to do better. Why? Like how you said, you just tapped into the non-network radio talk. So it's no excuse for you said you can't do better because that's a lie. That's the devil lying to you. God said
yes,
you can do all things through who Christ Jesus.
You're gonna start something there, Pastor, because the thing about now is it's not mysterious. It's not a hocus pocus trick. It's a decision in the mind that no matter what you're doing right now, if you know it's wrong, you could change your mind to do right. Oh, how do you oh my God, how do you change a bad habit into a good habit? Replace it with something good. I've had to do this.
I still practice
this principle in my life daily. Because every day, since we're going to be transparent, I am addressed with something that can make me go left.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, at least 10 to 15 times throughout the day, I am faced with something that can make me go back to 1985.
Come on. Come on.
And guns rolling and everything. Every day I am faced with at least 15, I'm talking at least, where I have to resist before it will flee. And I preach and I study and I pray all day long. I am perfecting myself to be a man of God, but I still am tempted. And watch this, go through a situation 15 times at the least a day where I have to say, that's not me no more. Oh, please, Lord, help me.
Oh, God.
Don't
oh,
let me
God.
Go there because I'm one click every day, all day. Oh, you say, well, that's Pastor E. He always got a word. Let me tell you, let me be real with you, my brothers out there today. All day, every day, I am battling to say no when everything says yes.
Come on. That's the word. This man up.
Now making a profession and a decree and a declaration over your life that I will not do that again. Oh, because let me tell you, once you do that, there's about 30 other obstacles that you're going to have to say no to.
My God.
And us men have to really learn the word no.
No.
We have a hard time saying
that,
no. We say yes to everything. Men need to learn how to say no to themselves.
What's your favorite word? No.
No. No.
Oh my
and that's
God.
Real. Well, we've had a great time tonight. Nobody's even dialing one. We must be off the chain. because we don't have one person to dial in. Zion got involved in the man up. He manned it up at 8. Oh, he'll be 9 on April 7th of his play. His birthday is September 4th. He'll be 9 years old, and I'm just blessed. Yep, and I believe I just want to give a shout out to my son Darius. He's 14 years old, growing up, blowing up. Oh my God, we want to bless God for him, and knowing that all this works for all of us. It works for all of us men, because no matter how young or no matter how old, we still are struggled with something trying to make us do what we don't want to do.
That's
Why
it.
Do I do wrong That's when it. I want to do right? See, you have to just change it and say, no, I do right when the wrong is coming.
I do right.
Uh-huh.
And I do your grandpa said,
had me to go to Romans chapter 7 when Paul was talking about when I want to do good, evil always.
That thorn is in my side.
Come on.
Trying to tell me to do wrong.
Come on. But the good thing about it, God give you grace. He give you grace to acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord. Lord, you know that he said the devil come to tempt you. Because you say it doesn't mean you. Where you saved from? You saved from his device. You saved from his snare. You saved from his traps. That's what you saved from. An unsaved person ain't saved from that. They fall right into it. But God, he said he ordered our steps. So anytime this enemy comes, he said, catch it in your mind and put it up under suggestion. We have that power. We have that power to catch that thought. No, you're not going to have. No, I still get those thoughts come in my mind. You know, when I'm feeling like I'm sick. The devil is a lie. I've been healed. I've been delivered. I've been set free almost. I ain't smoked a cigarette in 7 years. And you tell me I smell like
But it don't mean you didn't think about it, though.
The devil is a lie.
But it don't mean you didn't think about it.
I didn't
but
think
you had to make a decision.
Yeah, because it came.
But
I had to grab that thing. Hey,
come
Paul,
on.
I had to grab that thing. I had to grab that thing and said, no, devil, you is a liar. You are a smoker, not me. God delivered me from that. You better get away from me with that stuff. Don't tempt me. I'll hit you with the word. Great is he that is in me in the world. God deliver me. He said that if I said it and I believe it, if I confess it out of my mouth and I believe it, it's no longer there. So you can try another trick. Catch me tomorrow about 7 o'clock. I'll be telling you the same old thing.
Woo, Jesus. Man, this has been awesome tonight. This has been dynamic. We having a little praise party in the background, and I know the Holy Spirit is moving all over this network. We just invite all to continue to grow in Christ. I've been asking so many questions over the last couple of weeks is that, why don't you like doing it? Why don't you do this? Well, guess what? I've been called to grow people that grow people. That's what I've been called to do. And if it continues to go through the methods that he has given me, I am content to continue on that road. And I know that God will get the glory, the honor, and the praise, because it's not our will, but his will that will be done. God bless you, man. God, go on and pray us out of here, man. Let that anointing continue to flow. And y'all man up tomorrow. Oh, this week, I got to put a shout out. And that could be you or the woman of God. Pray us out, whatever the Lord leads. I heard that in the spirit. But I want to share that this Sunday at Sylvia Nunn's Angels, right there at 200 North Long Beach Boulevard in Compton, California, it's the greatest. It's the most spectacular. It is the awesome. Say, I thought you were going to say something. Gospel hip hop concert of the summer. At 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. this Sunday, coming up July 23rd, we got a full anointed group of young men and young women that are going to come and bless. But we are there to help the community. Free clothes, free food. We got a bouncer for the kids. Food for we going to be doing it there at Sylvia Nunn's Angels. We want you to come on out. And if you're not in the Los Angeles, Southern California area, Tune in to Pastor E's live Facebook feed, and we will be live for the whole 4 hours of concert. We got Mark Allen Felton, the baddest jazz saxophonist I know. That's real talk. And many, many, many more. Two Crunk with Jesus coming in from Houston. We got Hurt out of San Bernardino. D. Burns out of Compton, San Diego. He in both places. Dr. Barber's going to be coming by. Pastor Venus, a.k.a. VLB, live on the mic. And we have a 5 to 6 p.m. open mic. Anybody can get up and do something on the mic up there. We're going to have a fun time in Compton. Come on out and join us this Sunday. That's 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. Now, it really starts at 4, but BFT is in place. So that's why you see on the flyer 3-8. If you're wondering what BFT means, message me or call me later, and I'll tell you what that acronym means. Go ahead and pray us out of here, man of God.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to let my wife go ahead. She's going to pray us out. Amen. She helps me, and she's dynamic when she helps with this word. I appreciate her. I just want to say thank you for pouring into me this evening, sir. I receive every word, and I thank you again for being attentive to the Holy Ghost and let God speak out of you and don't hold it back. I appreciate that, bro, because somebody else
said nothing. Well, here, just for confirmation, as you threw that out there, the 30 starts tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
Not today. Today don't count.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
All right. Today don't count. All right.
All right. All right. I love you, man. All right. And let that anointing flow, woman of God.
Lord, bless the name of the Lord. Lord, I just want to thank you for the word that went forth today, Lord. Lord, we ask that you take this word and pin it down in the heart of your people, Lord. Lord, cause them to take a look within themselves and to ask you to fix anything in them that is not in agreement with you and your word, Lord. Lord, we ask that you bring a spirit of deliverance to your people. Lord, cause this word to make them want to change things. Lord, make us rise up. Lord, let us go back and fix those situations or anything in us that is unlike you. Lord, we just ask that you move in a mighty way in the people of God.
Yes.
Lord, we ask that you send deliverance and send your power all out throughout the airways, Lord God.
Yes.
Lord, we ask that you bind anything that is unlike you, Lord God. We ask that anybody that is listening, Lord God, that you touch their heart, Lord God.
Yes.
Bring back and take out those spirits of fear, Lord God. We move against the spirit of anger that will want to shut down the word, Lord God. We ask that you just elevate your people in their ministry, Lord God. We ask that you bring them forth, Lord Jesus. Bring them forth. Bring forth somebody that wants to stand on your word, Lord God. Bring forth somebody that wants to honor you. Bring forth somebody that wants to give you the glory, that doesn't want to take the glory for themselves, but that will stand on your word, that will declare it, that will live holy and righteous, Lord God. And all these things we ask and we pray, Lord, that your will be done in your people's life, that we will stand on the word, that we will honor you, Lord God, that we will hold fast to you, Lord God, that we will not waver, that we will not fall to the devices of the enemy, Lord God, but that we will stand and be strong, that there will not be any signs of weakness in our armor, but that we will have on the whole armor of God, and we will stand against the devil in these last and evil days, that we will be able to go out into our community and preach the word and bring forth change. All these things, Lord, we ask in your name.
Yes, Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen. God bless you.
God
in
bless
Jesus'
you.
Name.
God bless you.
And we thank you for this day. We're watching you, I pray. And with me all the way.
And we ask in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Oh, yeah. This boy's something else.
Family, know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.
God, I listened to it. It was something close to that. It's gonna come to me.
I love God. It was something like that. Do you listen to songs?